Hey, New Life Gillette Church, we are thrilled you decided to listen to our teaching on your favorite podcast app. If you made a decision to follow Christ today, would you let us know by visiting yes.newlifegillette.com? Here is this week's teaching. Thank you guys. Well, from that introduction, my name is not Mike. I always love when your lead pastor like gives you congratulations that you don't have to hear them. But I realize you guys have a Chiefs fan for a pastor, and this time of year, the case in point, Chiefs fans can be a little obnoxious, right? So I've got a third grader who's a Chiefs fan, so I get it. I can pinpoint, I think the moment I lost him and he went wayward was I let him listen to a pastor preach a sermon in a Chiefs jersey, and I lost him. He was gone. But, well, I'm glad to be here. It's a privilege. It's an honor to be with you. My name is Mark. And so welcome to those in the room. Welcome to those online. If you're part of Church 307 or part of the prison, we are glad you're with us. And we are excited for what God has for us today. This church, you guys are a church that kind of I'm really grateful for, holds a special place in my heart. Sometimes the way God works is he tends to use a pastor and a leader to kind of build a great church through them. But sometimes there are great churches that have a way of building great leaders and pastors. And you are one of those churches that has produced so many leaders and pastors that are out doing other things for the kingdom. And many of those, particularly some with the last name Smith, have really impacted my life. And so I'm grateful for you as a church because you seem to be one of those environments where God just sort of grows people up and then you send them out and they keep having impact all over the place. So thank you guys for that. And I just really am grateful for you and grateful for the opportunity to be here. Well, today we're going to begin with a question. As we kick off kind of a new series together, how do you build a life that matters? Does God even care if you have a life that matters? Well, I think he does. And I think this is a question that's worth going after. In fact, I'll answer it right off the top for you. I won't make you wait. How do you build a life that matters? By being part of something that matters. It's not the only element. It's not the only ingredient. But I don't think you can build a life that matters unless you're a part of something that actually matters in the world. It'd be something that's bigger than you. It's something with others, and it's something of God. All three of those kind of matter. Now, y'all just came off of a y'all series. How many of you were part of that? You were here, you were around, right? Y'all. Now, I was feeling like a little bit like I missed out because I spent some years living in Atlanta, Georgia. And so I got picked up a little bit of y'all language. And I feel like I didn't grow up with it. I don't have it. But so like the opportunity, I was like, I missed out on the opportunity to use some of my y'all language. But here's what's great about that. You've been in a series on y'all. So you understand when we say something with others, y'all about community, that when God's going to do stuff of significance, when he's going to invite us into something that's bigger than you, it's always with others. You're not going to do it alone. And so it matters that when we follow Jesus, we follow with others. Now, to be part of something that matters. D.L. Moody was a great Chicago preacher way back in the day, and he would have said it decades and decades and decades and decades ago. But D.L. Moody said this quote. He said, "Our greatest fear should not be of failure, but succeeding at something that doesn't really matter." Most of us in life are afraid of failure, aren't we? Like if you're gonna go for something, you don't want to fail. You don't want to mess up at it, right? Like even for me stepping up here today, there's always a part of you that's like, man, I hope it doesn't feel like a real dud because you don't want to fail. But I love Moody's perspective because a lot of us might get later on in the years and find out we succeeded, but we succeeded at something that didn't really matter. And so it gives us pause to say, wherever I'm at today in life, am I part of something that matters? It matters that it's bigger than you, that it's with others, that it's of God. All of those elements are gonna matter. Now, there's many people in Scripture we could look at as examples of being part of something that matters. But today, I want to look particularly at Joshua in the Old Testament. Now, Joshua has a whole book of the Bible named after him. This is Joshua of Joshua and Caleb, if you remember their story of being spies in the land. This is Joshua, who was the aide to Moses. He was kind of the younger right-hand leader alongside of Moses when Moses led. This is Joshua who battled with the sword while Moses was up on a mountainside with his hands lifted in prayer. Joshua was battling the Amalekites with a sword. In that story, God was the one to give victory. And it was kind of that, if you remember that part of the story, it was the one where Moses' hands were up and the nation of Israel was winning the battle. And then when his hands went down, they started to lose the battle. And it was showing that the victory came by God, not by the strength of the sword. Now, you have to wonder in that moment, if Moses was up on a mountain with his hands and you're winning when your hands are up and then you're losing when your hands are down, you kind of have to wonder if Moses had some moments going, is this for real? Let's just test this out. Oh my goodness, this is making a big difference. Real fast, right? Like this is Moses watching that. Well, Joshua was the one engaged in the battle with the sword. So this is Joshua, if you remember some of those. And we're going to look and read from the book of Joshua. We're going to look at chapter 1. So if you've got a Bible and want to open it to Joshua chapter 1, you can do that. Or you can follow with us on the screen as we look at Joshua 1. Now, Joshua had a specific mission and assignment from God. Joshua's mission was unique to him. It was unique to his generation of what God wanted to do through them. And that's going to come through as we read this passage together. So let's look at verse 1. Joshua 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, this is the whole nation, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. Now, key to Joshua's mission in this story is cross the Jordan River. Now, this passage begins, God says, imagine this, this is Joshua, he's been sort of the right-hand person to Moses through all of Moses' leadership. And God just says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, when I read that, it feels pretty direct, like, Moses and God had like a close relationship, but then here's God kind of like, just Moses is dead, like reality defined. That's where we're at. Now, get ready to cross the Jordan River. See, it was at this time, you may remember part of the story here, particularly with Moses, the whole nation of Israel was in Egypt where they were slaves. It was a land of slavery. 400 years, they were in the land of slavery. And then they cried out to God and God heard their cries. And God was going to deliver his people from their slavery from Egypt. And when God chose to do that, he called a leader and he called Moses. And Moses was the one that God was going to use. You might remember the story, maybe you even saw it in the movie. But Moses goes to Pharaoh and let my people go. And there's the whole story there where eventually Pharaoh allows the people to go. And Moses is the leader who leads God's people out of Egypt, out of their land of slavery. They hit the Red Sea. They see God miraculously part the Red Sea waters so that Moses and the nation can move ahead. Pharaoh and his army is wiped out. God is the one who has rescued them from their slavery. But while they always had the land in front of them, Moses and that generation will grumble against God. They'll doubt God. And eventually God looks at Moses and the whole generation and says, you're not going to enter the land. So they wander for 40 years in the desert. And it's not just because Moses is bad with directions. It's because they wouldn't trust God. And so 40 years they wander. Now comes a time where they're on the banks of the Jordan River. The land God has called them to enter is on the other side of the Jordan River. Moses and that whole generation has now passed away. And so this is a big moment for Joshua, for the whole nation, because they know that God wasn't just rescuing them out of something. He was calling them into something. And it's going to be on the other side of the Jordan River. So that sets the stage a little bit of where Joshua and the nation is. Let's keep reading here. Our next verses. Verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, and to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Now, those don't mean a lot to us, probably the boundaries of where it'd be, but I bet when you hear Mediterranean Sea, you're like, I bet it'd be nice to live there. That sounds like good seafront property. But this is the land, and this is part of God's promise. Part of what you get in Joshua is God is a promise-keeping God. Okay, read on. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is part of God's promise. Be strong and courageous, because you, this is Joshua, you, Joshua, will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Look at what God's heart is for the people, prosperous and successful. This is God saying, this is my heart for you. This is what I want for you. And he's speaking into them. This is how you attain it. This is how you live it. Okay, next verse. Keep this book of law, we're already on that. Give me the next one here. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. You hear those words again? They've come up more than once. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, or the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. See, God is giving these promises to Joshua and the nation. Now, listen, as God has said this to Joshua, and it's for the nation, listen, these couple verses, listen at Joshua's response to all this. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here and go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. I love it right here. You could summarize Joshua's response after God has said all this. After 40 years of in the desert and they're on the edges of the water, God's saying, it's time that you're going to cross the Jordan. You're going to go into the land. You're going to drive out nations that are there. I'm going to keep my promise to you. And Joshua's response, I could sum it up as the words, get ready. Joshua immediately looks at the people and responds to them, get ready. God's calling us to go somewhere and to take a step, and we've got to get ready. Now, God had a mission and an assignment for Joshua and the nation. And for them, the assignment was really clear. It's time for you to take the faith step to cross the river. It's time that you're gonna go inherit the land. It's time that you're gonna go face these battles. That's the mission that Joshua would have. But what can we learn from this? See, Joshua's was a life that mattered because he engaged in God's mission. And it impacted the entire nation, the entire generation, but frankly, every generation from then until Jesus coming is impacted by what Joshua does here. And I think if we were to ask Joshua the question, Joshua, how do we be part of something that matters? I think Joshua would step up today and say, well, one of the elements is you've got to engage in God's mission. You've got to engage in God's what? Mission. See, Joshua engaged in the mission that God called his generation to. But for you and I today, God is still calling us to engage in the mission that he has for us. And God's mission, in some ways, you're already part of it just being here today. Because God's calling, God's mission is to be part of something bigger, to be part of a church that is God's people on mission together. And the mission involves reaching people. Always has. The mission involves reaching people. And it's reaching people around us, but it can also be reaching people near to us. You guys as a church, it's fun to hear Mike celebrate this, but your investment in Uncharted Church in Casper, Wyoming, I got to be there last Sunday. And it was incredible to see what God did in a launch Sunday. Uncharted Church had 280 people show up on Sunday. That's incredible, isn't it? Come on. You can give God some glory for that. It's incredible. I mean, I'm pausing here. I'm going, a year ago, we had nobody there. And like last summer, my wife and my kids, they were with me. We were through Casper and we were meeting with Caleb. And my kids remember this. There was a group that we got together for a dinner. And it was like maybe 12 people in somebody's garage with Qdoba. That was all we had. And it was like a night where we had faith. This little group had faith and they had prayer and they had Qdoba. Those were the ingredients. And from that little group, here we are fast forwarding some months later to see what God's done and to see that many people show up and not just show up, but a whole bunch of those people made faith decisions. I think Caleb was telling me this week, he's got like 20 people that are interested in being baptized, like right out of the gate. That's incredible. Guys, you need to know that's not normal, right? Yeah, isn't that awesome? And listen, God gets the glory for it, no doubt. But you as a church, you prayed for, you supported. Some of you know people in Casper that you mentioned this to. And God has been at work in and through that. God's mission has always been about reaching people. And it's about reaching people in our city, reaching people around us. But we can also help reach people in our region and near around us. And you guys are a part of that. And God is at work in it. And it was incredible for me to be there on Sunday morning. Like I showed up early. And I'm looking around at this. I'm kind of remembering that little group of 12 people. And all of a sudden I'm looking and there's like this little army of people serving and getting everything ready. There's people like setting up a stage and sound system. There's people setting up kids areas and getting those things. They're putting the chairs out. People are getting the coffee ready. Turns out they didn't get enough coffee ready. That was a problem. They got to work on that. You can't do church and run out of coffee, right? Especially in the wintertime. So they're on it. You can make a few mistakes along the way. Just learn as we go. But here's this army of people serving and making it happen. And it's incredible to see what God's doing. I was in one brief conversation with somebody who had kind of moved and was new to the Casper area and was just asking her how she ended up there. Shares part of her story. Like I moved out here for work and for a job. And that's kind of why I'm here. But then I connected with the church group and a thing in the park. They had a tent up and got talking with them. And I jumped into some meetings. And now I'm just kind of a part of this bigger thing. And I'm here part of serving. And then she said, you know, I moved out here for work. And I moved from California. And I always pause when people say that. Because like where I'm from, like one of my neighbors will say it. Like, well, where'd you move from? From the land of which we shall not speak. Oh, we don't say the word out loud, okay? But it's okay, she's here. And she moved like for work and for a job, but then she started doing it. And she goes, but you know, I'm realizing that I think God had bigger plans and wanted me to be here to be a part of this. That's a big deal, isn't it? See, listen, there's a lot of times you might move somewhere and you think you made the move for a paycheck, but God might've been in it and helping you make the move for purpose. To be part of a bigger purpose of what he's doing in the world. A lot of us need to realize when God's with us, he wants us to find and discover the purpose. And that's a big deal when we can make that shift and we can discover that God has something more for us. Well, Joshua's mission was specific to his generation. As we said it, the entering the land was core to the mission, the assignment of what God had for them. But our mission today as Jesus followers, Jesus is the one who's given us our mission. In Matthew 28, it's go make disciples of all nations. That's like core to why we exist as a church. And it's Jesus who gave us that mission. See, Joshua, when we read through it, this is important to not miss. With Joshua, when you read through the book, Joshua is not a strategy for how to be on mission today. Joshua's story is one of going into the land. It's one of battles. It's one of swords. Like, that is not how Jesus calls us to do it. But we can draw some parallels and contrast from what God did in Joshua in the mission there to what Jesus wants us to do on a mission here. So let me just highlight a few of these up here on the screen. We've got Joshua that we're looking at his story. Jesus is who we follow today. If you are here and you didn't know that, just look at the big name behind me, right? There's lights on it so you don't miss. We're here because of Jesus. It's all about him. He's the one who gives the mission. So when we look at this, Joshua was going to drive people out. As they cross the Jordan River, as God provides, they're going to face up against some nations of people. And primarily in these battles they engage in, they will drive people out. Jesus, on the other hand, it's different for us. Jesus was this: draw people in. Throughout Jesus's ministry, Jesus connected with and drew people in. In fact, many times it wasn't the people you would expect. In fact, sometimes he was pretty harsh with religious leaders. And then somebody that everybody looked at as an outsider, occasionally they were even a foreigner. There would be people kind of on the outskirts, and Jesus regularly would draw them in. And oftentimes he would even point to them as an example of faith. Like, hey, they have faith bigger than everybody else here. Jesus was regularly drawing people in. In Joshua's story, we have this. Joshua used swords. That was part of the battle. Jesus, when Jesus shows up in his mission, Jesus used serving. The Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve. And he modeled serving others. In Joshua's story, the battle was he battled physically in power. In Jesus, we battle spiritually in prayer. The New Testament makes clear there's a spiritual battle that we engage in. And prayer is part of how we engage in that battle. But listen, the battle was physical and real for Joshua, but it helps illustrate and model so much of the battle we engage in that is the spiritual battle. Now, with Joshua, we have this. The hope is that they turn and flee. As they go in and engage the battle, they are hoping that nations will turn and flee. With Jesus, turning and fleeing is not the desire. With Jesus, it's this. The hope is that they turn and follow. Do you see the contrast here? Do you see some of the parallels here? See, we're called to be Jesus followers, and Joshua helps illustrate so much for us, but we have to catch the differences here. Now, in Joshua's story, if you were part of the whole nation, I think you could have said, if you were to ask Joshua, like, hey, Joshua, what's my purpose? I'm just somebody in the nation of Israel. Like, what are we doing here? What's the role I should play on the team? Now, the interesting thing in Joshua's story, there really isn't like examples that people got into these really specific roles and it made it really unique to you individually. I think in a lot of ways, Joshua's answer, if you were to ask, like, Joshua, what's the purpose? Like, really practically, Joshua, like, what should I do? I think Joshua would have simply said this: grab a sword, get ready, and go after somebody. Like, that's what we're doing. Okay, grab the sword. There's a sharp end. Make sure that one points away from you. Don't hit your brother with it. Don't hit yourself with it. But get ready, because we're going to go engage a battle. And people get ready to move forward in this. So for us, what's my calling and purpose? Well, our calling's to be part of the church, the body of Christ. And our purpose is to be on mission together. And practically, we get to jump in and try something. We get to jump in and serve somebody. We get to jump in and be a part of what God is doing around us. So when people come to faith in Casper, or people come to faith here in Gillette, when people get baptized in Casper, when people get baptized here in Gillette, you are part of the team, part of the body that God is using to reach people he loves and reach people he cares about. And now listen to this. When it comes to the battle, in the Old Testament, they clearly fought with swords. Today's like, we don't really do like battles and warfare with swords anymore, right? It's usually like from a distance, people are trying to hurl missiles at each other. If you go back in American history, There was a time in a battle, you might remember this famous line, you know, they would have fought with black powder rifles. And they would have said, don't fire until you see the what? Whites of their eyes. You guys paid attention in history. Listen, like you had to get close enough. It's going to be that temptation to want to fire from a distance. Make sure you get close enough that you can see the whites of their eye, because that's what you're going to need to be. But in Joshua's day, you had to get even closer. Because if you're going to battle with a sword, you've got to get up close and personal in the battle. Now listen, as we follow Jesus today, I think Jesus still calls us to get up close and personal. To get up close and personal with people in our lives. That's part of how we're going to serve. That's part of how we're going to make a difference in all of this. Personal relationships and getting up close and personal are always going to matter. An example of this for me freshly, there's so many, but one that's a bit personal is my own mom. Mom's in her 70s now. And we were talking, one of her good friends passed away just some weeks ago, and that brought some of the freshness of this. Her friend was a lady she met, it's been about 24 years ago now. And her name is Shawnez. She met Shawnez because Shawnez came to America as a refugee in refugee status. My mom volunteered with a group. It was kind of a Christian group that helped welcome people, helped them kind of orient to landscape in America. And as my mom kind of served and helped out, part of their small church came alongside to sort of serve and help out. And they just began to build a connection and build a relationship. Shawnez comes from Iran. And so she's a Muslim, has Muslim faith. But mom kind of through that connection just invites her to come to church. And when you're in a new place, you don't know anyone, you don't have any friends, and there's some people helping you, she's like, yeah, I'll come. And she just came and kind of sat and hang out with my mom. And she started to do that every week. And over the weeks and over time, like a church that was just a welcoming church, people that engaged, but particularly through a personal relationship. It took years, even into decades, but being in those kind of environments where the Holy Spirit is working, Shawnez eventually made a decision to put faith and trust in Jesus. And it's because of an up-close personal relationship. Listen, God can work a lot of different ways. And he can work sometimes quick, sometimes decades. But almost every time, almost every story, there's a relationship of somebody who was willing to be up close and personal, who was willing to build that relationship, who was willing to serve. And that makes all the difference in how we engage in God's mission. Well, let me jump to another one. Secondly would be this. I think if Joshua had to answer the question, how do we be part of something that matters? One of the things that comes through in this passage, it would be this: actually do what God says. I know that's a surprise, right? But let's look at how it comes through in the passage. Here's the verse, we read it earlier. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Again, God's heart is that you'd be successful. God's heart is that he wants things to be prosperous and good for you. But that's what he wants. This is a generation, Joshua, they grew up as kids, the youngers in the desert. They watched their parents struggle with this. They watched through the book of Exodus where they didn't trust God. They didn't obey God. They didn't do what he said. And so God's reminding them, hey, you've actually got to do what I say. And much of the Old Testament story is a generations that will obey God and listen to what he says and things go well. And then a generation that will go the other way and not obey and not listen to God and things don't go well. The whole theme of the book of Joshua, I wrote this at one of my Bibles, it was 20 years ago, I wrote at the top of Joshua, obedience brings blessing. That's the message of all of Joshua. Obedience brings blessing. And it comes through so clearly in this passage that we've got to listen to God and actually do what he says. And there's obedience to what God asks of all of us. And then there's obedience of what God asks of us personally. A lot of you guys in this church have mentioned how God's used you guys to raise up and send out just some awesome, awesome people. I get the privilege of connecting a lot with Paul and Karen Boffman. Remember those guys? Some of you guys know them, right? You got, they love you guys. I know that. And you guys love them. But Paul and Karen, part of their story was God began to stir something in them, and they began to wrestle that maybe God was calling them to go out and to go somewhere and to do a new thing. And so they prayed and discerned, and ultimately they realized, we believe God's calling us to move to Spokane Valley, Washington, and that God wants us to begin and plant a new church, a new move of God in that region. And so it was a big faith step that they went out on. But here's what always gets me, as they wrestle and as they discern that, it came to a point where it was a matter of obedience, where they realized God's calling us to do this. And as much as we love our church and as much as we love our friends, we feel like if we don't step out and go, we're gonna be disobedient. And we've gotta be obedient to what God's calling us to, and we've gotta trust that. And they love you guys, and many of you love them and are praying for them, and it's awesome what God's doing there, and we're praying for God to show up and do big things. It absolutely matters that we do what God says. Now, I'm going to hit a couple more of these fairly quick, but be part of something that matters. Face battles with courage. What stands between you and where God wants you to be? It's probably something that's going to take courage to face. Listen to the passage again. He said, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous." Remember, those words echo through three times in what we read. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This, be strong or courageous. Now, I got to admit, when you hear it three times, God's like, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. How many of you think like, hey, I bet what lies ahead is going to be easy? Like, man, he keeps reminding us we're going to have to be strong and courageous. Like, God's got a mission and something ahead, but it's going to take courage. And sometimes it's really big courage. Paul and Karen had big courage to move. But sometimes it's very simple courage. It's courage to have an honest conversation. It's courage for something this week. Could be the honest conversation of looking at a spouse and saying, have we started to drift apart? Is there something we need to address? Because it feels like we're a little more distant than we've been. It could take a lot of courage to bring that up. I had one last week where somebody opened up to me and shared about their 22-year-old son who took his own life 4 to 5 years ago. And he said, I'm beginning to realize I think it's still affecting me and it's affecting my younger son. And I'm not exactly sure what to do about it. But it takes a lot of courage to just say that to somebody. A few weeks ago, Pastor Mike did a message on confession and challenged you guys like to confess to one another, confess to your life group leader. It takes a lot of courage to have a conversation like that. If you were feeling God prompt you to have one of those, did you have the courage to do it? I've realized often in life, we know the right thing to do. We simply lack the courage to do it. If we're going to follow Jesus and make a difference in this world, if you're going to live a life that matters, you're going to have to be somebody who has courage. Lastly is this, to be part of something that matters, keep gaining ground. I think Joshua would remind us, keep gaining ground. See, they crossed the river. They had the battle of Jericho. God kind of miraculously showed up and gave them the victory. But they could have in that moment just said, all right, we're in the land and we've got the victory. Why don't we hang out here by the Jordan River? Well, this looks like a good place. But they realized God's call was to keep moving forward into the land. They had to keep gaining ground. If we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to have to know God's going to call us to keep moving forward. I know this well. I'm somebody who some years ago now, my wife and I, we were younger before kids. We through hiked from Mexico to Canada on the Pacific Crest Trail. A little over 4 months, but did the whole journey on foot. And so the keep moving forward theme, it rings true for me. There were seasons of a hike where you're in the desert. There's seasons of a hike where you're in mountains. There's seasons where you're crossing big rivers that honestly could wash you away. And whatever the terrain, whatever was before us, whether you were having a week that felt like the most amazing or one of the hardest, every morning you wake up and realize, I've just got to keep moving forward. I've got to keep taking steps down the trail. I think Joshua would remind us, whatever you're facing, you're going to have to face battles with courage, but keep gaining ground. Keep moving forward. This whole following Jesus thing isn't just a camp out in one place. If you're going to follow, you've got to keep in step. You got to walk with him. And Joshua kept gaining ground at the mission God gave. And if we're going to follow Jesus and the things that matter, we're going to have to keep gaining ground. So here's a question for today. Will you engage in the bigger calling and purpose of God? Is there someone or somewhere that you can serve this week that can help move people towards Jesus? Will you pray with me? So Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are a promise-keeping God, that to Joshua and the whole generation, you kept a promise, and that when you called them to keep moving forward, they were an example of faith and obedience and trust in you. And that is something we can follow. And while the mission they had was unique to them and the strategies of how that played out, there's some contrast for how it would look like for us. God, I thank you that you invite us to have a life that is part of something bigger than ourselves, to be part of a mission that's going to matter for today, but also going to matter for eternity. Would you help us to realize that we're called to be part of the church, part of the family, part of the people of God, but you've got a purpose and a mission for us to keep reaching people. And that can change lives. That can change marriages. That can bring hope where we need hope. But God, may we jump in. May we play our part. May we be willing to get up close and get personal to people that need to know you. Thank you, God, that we're part of something bigger than ourselves. You're here with us in this room. But God, as we gather today, it's so much bigger. All around the globe, there's people gathering in the name of Jesus. I know pastors who are leading churches in Zambia right now. They're gathering in the name of Jesus and opening your word. Pastors in Mongolia gathering in Jesus' name and open your word. We're part of something so much bigger. And it can change lives and it can change eternity. And so God, would we lean in? Would we walk by faith? And would your spirit be with us? We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.